Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Today, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with the Acts 28:28 dividing line. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. We are discussing the flow of truth. And I believe God's truth flows out of the Old Testament into the Gospels, flows out of the Gospels into the Book of Acts, and flows out of the Book of Acts into Paul's final epistles. And in understanding the flow of truth and how it teaches us about God's work with us today, and how it differs from God's work with others in times past, and God's work with others in the future, I have suggested that it's very important for us to understand that the passage of Acts 28, and particularly the verse Acts 28:28, is a dividing line, a dispensational dividing line. And it gets much of its importance from the fact that it is the last such dividing line before God's work today. Before Acts 28:28, we could say that there are some things that God was doing with others in the past that he's not doing today. But after Acts 28:28, all God's works since that time have been working the same work he's working today, God's present purpose. Now, I have stated this conviction about Acts 28:28, and yet there are others who recognize Acts 28:28 as a dispensational dividing line, who have yet never really, I believe, taken the time and effort to study Acts 28:28 sufficiently. And for these, and as well as for others, who might be considering, perhaps for the first time, whether Acts 28:28 is really a dividing line in God's work, may I say that we need to realize that Acts 28:28 is either a statement that it is important or unimportant. It either says much or else it says little. It either declares something that had long been true, and so nothing was really changing at all, or else it was stating something that is going to be true from this point on. And it's up to the reader of Acts 28:28 to decide concerning this personally, to make a personal decision regarding this. Now, the reader's decision will affect his treatment of this passage. Now, whatever your conviction may be, let me state my conviction regarding this passage. And that is that these words of Acts 28:28 are of the utmost importance, that they are a critical turning point in the history of God's dealings with Adam's race, and that they say much in one succinct statement. These words in Acts 28:28 declare a new state of things, a state of things that was not existing in the Acts period that preceded this pithy announcement. Now that is my faith regarding Acts 28:28, and my faith must therefore be backed up by my works, and that I must therefore do all the work that is necessary to make sure that I understand and appreciate these words and understand what exactly it is that God is saying in Acts 28:28. And to read that important passage for you in the New King James Version, therefore let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will hear it. Now, I believe that this is a very impactful and world-changing truth. And the negative aspects of this truth, because it doesn't just have positive aspects, it also has negative aspects. And the negative aspects of this truth can be traced back. And they'll have a bearing on everything that took place between Pentecost, and that's when most Christians say God's work today began at Pentecost. But if Acts 28:28 is really a dividing line, well, the negative truth of it will affect everything that took place between Pentecost and Acts 28:28. And if Acts 28:28 is really a dividing line in God's work, well, then the positive aspects of this truth will have a bearing on everything that has taken place from Acts 28:28 to all the works that God is presently doing currently right now as I speak today. Now, in order to understand Acts 28:28, to understand its truth and the import of its truth, our study must begin by searching carefully for the exact meaning of certain important words used in this great proclamation Paul made in Rome in Acts 20:28. Now, the meanings of these important words do not just affect our understanding of Acts 28:28. Since this is an important dividing line, our understanding of the meanings of these words are also indispensable to our study of the book of Acts that precedes these words, and also to our study of all the epistles in the New Testament. As I've said, if Acts 28:28 is a dividing line, why, every epistle in the New Testament is therefore affected in its truth by whether or not it was written before or after Acts 28:28. Now, what words am I talking about that we need to understand in order to understand Acts 28:28? Well, I believe that there are four important words to be considered and that will bring us the truth when studying Acts 28:28. These words are salvation, sent, Gentiles, and here. Number one, salvation. Number two, sent. Number three, Gentiles. Number four, here. Now, some superficial students might scoff at my suggestion that we study these words out to figure out what they mean, because they'll say, well, we all know what these words mean. I mean, everyone knows what salvation means, and everyone knows what sent means. Why, that's a very simple word. We use it every day. And everyone knows who the Gentiles are. And everyone knows what it means to hear. Again, a simple word we use every day. So they would scoff at my suggestion that we need to study these four important words. Well, we might say that we all know what these words mean, but the question arises, what would come out of it if we study these words not in our English language, but in the Greek original in which God originally wrote the New Testament? If we would study out the Greek original for these four words, we would find that at least three of them have been very poorly translated. And so these four important words need to be considered in Greek, and not just in English, where, like I said, the superficial student will just say, we all know what they mean. Now, starting out with word number one, the word salvation. The word salvation in English is, in Greek, the word soterion, soterion, and we could spell that S-O-T-E-R-I-O-N. And if you spelled it out, you could put a mark over the O and over the E, and that would show you that those are long letters. It is the O is the omega, the big O, and not the omicron, the little O, and the E is eta, the long E, which is kind of a long A too, and not epsilon, the short E. So soterion is the word. Now, this word is most important for our understanding of Acts 28:28 because this word is the subject of the sentence. Notice again that verse. Therefore, let it be known to you that the salvation of God has been sent. So salvation is the subject, and something has been done to salvation. And if we don't know what the word salvation means, why, then we won't know what Paul was talking about in this important sentence, in this important statement, in this important declaration of truth that I believe is a dividing line. Now, this word soterion does not mean salvation. For if Paul had meant salvation, he would have used the word soteria, S-O-T-E-R-I-A. Again, with a long O and a long E, representing omega and eta. Soteria is the noun that means salvation. But soterion is an adjective and not the noun at all. If Paul had meant the noun, he would have used soteria. But he used the adjective. Now, the noun soteria is found 45 times in the New Testament. And it's usually translated as salvation. 40 of the 45 times it's translated salvation. The adjective, however, soterion, is found only 5 times one of them being right here in Acts 20:28. Now, I will give you a concordance of the five occurrences of soterion. That is Luke 2 and verse 30, wherein the man Simeon says, "My eyes have seen your salvation." Luke 3 and verse 6, "And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." Acts 28:28 is number 3. That's the one we're considering. The salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles. Number 4 is Ephesians 6 and verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation." That's soterion. And finally, number 5 is Titus 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men." Now, in this case, Titus 2:11, the word soterion has been translated by 3 words, "that brings salvation." And in this last occurrence, our translators have actually translated it by 3 words that result in being rather equivalent to an adjective. Now, if we would look at the 5 occurrences of this word soterion, we would see that the translators have treated this divinely inspired adjective as if it were a noun. And yet, it is not. So translating it as a noun robs us of the exact truth the Spirit meant to convey when he used this adjective instead of using the noun soteria, which he could easily have used. Now, what does the adjective soterion mean? Well, I believe there's no doubt about it that it literally means saving. And this is as when we would say saving grace, or when we would say the saving blood of Jesus Christ, or if we would say the saving work of Christ. Now, it's also clear that in 4 of the 5 New Testament occurrences of the adjective soterion, it is substantivized. Now, that's a long word, but don't be afraid of it. It just means a word that is not a noun, and yet that is used as a noun. So when an adjective is used as a noun, we say it is substantivized. Yet though it is substantivized, it is an adjective. And there is one fixed rule of grammar regarding adjectives that cannot be altered. And that is that an adjective never stands alone. And if any time an adjective occurs, it appears to stand alone, as this adjective soterion seems to in these 4 passages, then it is an inalterable rule that the idea the adjective qualifies must be found in the context. Now, beyond all question, this word soterion has a technical significance and is used in a special way in the New Testament and in classical Greek. The New King James translators came close to the meaning of this word in Titus 2:11 when they translated it, "that brings salvation." And the technical meaning of this word soterion, of this adjective, is salvation bringing. And soterion is used to describe things that are salvation bringing. And if we would consider the Greek lexicons, they're practically unanimous in regard to this. Abbot Smith, in their lexicon, defines soterion as meaning saving or bringing salvation. Kramer, a lexicographer without peer, defines it as saving, bringing salvation. Liddell and Scott, in their Greek lexicon, define it as saving, delivering, bringing safety. Thayer, another most notable Greek scholar, defines it as saving, bringing salvation. Dr. E.W. Bullinger, in his lexicon, defines it as saving, delivering, bringing salvation. Arndt and Gingrich, in their lexicon, define it as meaning saving, delivering, preserving, bringing salvation. Moulton and Milligan state, quote, "In the papyrus, this word is used in the neuter as a substantive with reference to what produces soteria," meaning salvation. And they show that if these people in these papyri thought a sacrifice would bring salvation, or a gift would bring salvation, why then they would apply this word soterion to it. Once again, this word soterion is an adjective, and an adjective never stands alone in a sentence. This is so true that the word adjective can be used to describe things that do not stand alone. For example, if I was to say, I am an adjective in this, I would mean I do not stand alone in this. Adjectives are used to modify nouns, and in any sentence in which an adjective seems to stand alone, we must find somewhere the noun that the adjective modifies. For example, the statement, it is beautiful, or the statement, this is good. Now, beautiful and good are adjectives. And we would never know what the speaker of these sentences, it is beautiful, or this is good, is referring to, unless we could find something in the physical context that supplies the subject. For example, if a person were standing, viewing a sunset, and then made the statement, it is beautiful, we would immediately understand from the physical context what the adjective beautiful was referring to. If someone was sitting eating a meal and then made the statement, this is good, we would immediately understand from the context of the meal what the adjective good is referring to. Now this shows us the rule that adjectives can only be used as substantives, that is, as nouns, only when the idea that is being qualified is clear from the context. And this context could be either written or apparent, as in the case of the sunset or the meal. For example, take the statement, the young are impatient. Well, this sentence would naturally lead to the question, the young what? The young animals or the young people? And you could refer to a specific type of animal whose young are impatient, or you could refer to the young among people as being impatient. And so you would need something from the context to tell you who the young are. Young being an adjective, substantivized here, you'd need the context to tell you what it means. So with these facts in mind, with the facts about adjectives and substantivized adjectives in mind, we can now examine the five passages in which the word soterion is found and consider what they mean. First, Luke 2:30. Now in this verse, the man Simeon says, properly translated, for my eyes have seen your salvation bringing. And this naturally raises the question, salvation bringing what? Now this question is good, for it sends us to the context to discover what it is that is described as salvation bringing. Dr. Moffat, in his studies of the verse, suggests thy saving power. Lenski, the Lutheran commentator, suggests thy saving gift. And yet these scholars are wrong, for there is nothing about power or about gift in the context. And if these nouns are not in the context, then making these nouns to be what the adjective is referring to is just making something up. The actual context of this statement is found starting in Luke 2:26. That it had been revealed to him, that is Simeon, by the Holy Spirit, that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation bringing. And what the man Simeon saw was the infant Jesus. And he called him, what? The salvation-bringing Christ. That's what the Spirit had revealed to him, that he would not die before he had seen Christ. And he saw the salvation-bringing Christ. This makes sense in the context. Now, in Luke 3 and verse 6, we read, and all flesh shall see the salvation-bringing of God. Now, the noun to be supplied in this context is not so readily apparent. and all flesh shall see the salvation bringing of God. Well, the question arises, salvation bringing what? But understand, this is in the context of quoting from Isaiah chapter 40, where in verse 5 we read, "The glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." And Isaiah 40 and verse 5 says that the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So this context gives us the noun to be supplied in Luke 3 and verse 6. It is glory. And so we would read this verse, "And all flesh shall see the salvation bringing glory of God." Now stepping past Acts 28:28, the passage in question, we come to Ephesians 6 and verse 17. "And take the helmet of salvation bringing." Now this verse belongs to a portion on which so many sermons have been preached that few can now distinguish between the sermons that are preached and the message of God. Literally, this verse would read, "And receive the helmet of the salvation bringing, even the sword of the Spirit, which is a declaration of God." Again, if we would ask the question, salvation bringing what? We would find that in the context, the helmet equals the salvation bringing. And that's called an apposition, the helmet of salvation, or salvation bringing. I would call that the genitive of apposition, meaning the helmet is the salvation bringing. Then by a further apposition, these are defined as the sword of the Spirit, which is literally defined as being a declaration of God. Therefore, taking the apposition into account, this should be rendered, "And take the helmet of the salvation bringing declaration of God." Now, some might think so, but I would say that it is not strange, in fact, that the salvation-bringing declaration is the believer's helmet and the Spirit's sword. For this passage is setting forth two uses of the same thing. It's not mixing metaphors, but it's giving us two metaphors for two uses of the same thing. Now, in Titus 2 and verse 11, "For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. We do not need to search for the noun the adjective qualifies, for here it is clearly stated, the adjective is not substantivized." And this verse should read, "For the salvation-bringing grace of God has shone forth," or blazed forth, and this means by the Greek usage that it has intervened favorably in behalf of all men, or of all mankind. Now finally we come to the crucial passage of Acts 28:28. Where I would literally read, "Let it then be known to you that the salvation bringing of God." And this would raise the question, salvation bringing what? Well, if we would continue the context, the salvation bringing of God has been sent to the Gentiles and they will hear it. We would find that the salvation bringing in context is something that the nations will hear. Now, therefore, it is evident that it is a message. That is, the salvation-bringing message of God. Now, if some would prefer, we could make this the salvation-bringing word of God, or utterance, or declaration, or gospel. These terms are basically synonymous, and all could be used to supply the noun in this context. So thus we have attained to the subject of Acts 28:28. Something was done with the salvation-bringing message of God. But what was done to it? This brings us to the verb. Yet we're out of time for this week, and we'll discuss the verb next time. But I believe Acts 28:28 is a critical dividing line. And it tells us something not about salvation, the noun, but about something salvation-bringing, that is, the salvation-bringing message of God. Something important happened to the salvation-bringing message of God at Acts 28:28. And we'll discover what in our next study.
A word study of the Greek adjective soterion brings a wealth of meaning to the passages where we find this word, usually translated salvation, which is a noun. It is important to understand that in Acts 28:28, the salvation-bringing qualifies the noun in view. So what about this message, this declaration, this gospel? For this, we'll have to wait for next week's lesson. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the Acts 28:28 dividing line. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the flow of truth with Sent to the Gentiles. Thank you for joining us today. Our hope is that this program motivates you to study God's Word more, causing you to know and love God more. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although we always appreciate your financial support, you will never be solicited for funds in any way when you write to us, so feel free to contact us. This program has been brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry. I've been your host, Bob Juneau, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now. We look forward to you joining us next week, though, on Knowing God in the Word.